Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Bus. Yo, Shivani. Yo, Warren. I really don't think they're ready for this. But let's try it anyway.
Good evening and welcome to Heart to Heart Relationship Talk. My name is Cheryl Merchant and I am your Good evening and welcome to Heart to Heart Relationship Talk. My name is Cheryl Merchant and I am your relationship host. As always, we thank you for taking time to tune in to Heart to Heart on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and good evening and welcome to Heart to Heart Good evening and welcome to Heart to Heart Relationship Talk. Good evening and welcome to Heart to Heart Relationship Talk. My name is Cheryl Merchant and I am your relationship host. As always, we thank you for taking time to tune in to Heart on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good evening and welcome to Heart Relationship Talk. My name is Cheryl Merchant and I am your relationship host. As always, we thank you for taking time to tune in to Heart on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yo, Bus. Yo, Shivani. Yo, Warren. I really don't think they're ready for this. But let's try it anyway. Put your hands up. Come on. They ain't hype enough for being here. Come on. Time to break through between those chains holding you down. Keep your hands where my eyes can see. I'm looking for you. I know I'm
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm having difficulties. Let's hang up. I think Martha is on the line. So I'm going to disconnect and try to redial in, okay? And
Do I need to call back in?
I need you guys to call back in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Great, thanks.
welcome to Heart to Heart Relationship Talk. We have had a bumpy start today, but I believe that we have ironed out all of the technical difficulties, and I do apologize for the inconvenience, but when you're doing live radio and dealing with recordings and what have you, things just happen. But we are here, and again, welcome, welcome, welcome by way of Blog Talk Radio. And this evening, we are paying tribute to our military troops and also exploring military relationships. And my guest host for this evening is my good friend and sister in Christ, outstanding businesswoman and mentor. And it is none other than Michelle B. Little from the Pacific Northwest state of Washington in the city of Tacoma, which is fortunate enough to have most of the military. Hey, Michelle.
Hello. Hello, Lady Cheryl. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good. We've had a bumpy start this afternoon. Normally it doesn't go this way, but you know what? It did, and it just did. That's it. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad that you are available, my dear sister.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Okay. The sun is shining today in the Pacific Northwest, if you can believe it or not.
Oh, it is?
Yes. We were cloudy the last couple of days, but the sun came out today.
Wow. Well, isn't that something? Well, good for you. I'm glad you're getting some sunshine, finally. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, we are, as you know, Michelle, we're paying tribute to our troops today. And
yes.
I personally thank all military personnel from all branches of the military for your commitment, your bravery, your courage, for sacrificing time away from your families and risking your lives. And I appreciate you, and to have some personal involvement with the military, I have adopted two military service persons through www.presidentialprayerteam.org's Adopt a Troop initiative. My adoptees are National Guard Nelson, who is married with four children, and also Marine Gooch. And I have committed to pray for my adoptees every day. And I want to be clear, listeners, that adopting a troop and praying for them is not political. It is not Democrat. It is not Republican. It is not independent. The truth of the matter is that it is Christian, and we are to pray for our troops. They need our prayers, the prayers from the believers for God's covering over them as well as their families. So I've said all of that, and also paying tribute to our troops. Now, if you'd like to call in, our call-in number is 1-347-324-3813, and we are encouraging civilians to call in and give a verbal salute to a military service person that you know, or just in general. And then, of course, if any military people are listening, you are certainly encouraged to call in and to just maybe just share whatever you want to share, whatever is on your heart with our listeners. Again, the call-in number is 1-347-324-3813. Did you know that there are 1.4 million active duty military personnel? Did you know that there are 1.9 million military dependents? And did you know that there are 1.2 million military reservists? Did you know that there are 1.9 million military retirees and families? Did you know that the military is a family-oriented community? 53% of active duty personnel are married, and 49% have children.
according to some studies, now the nature of the military service is changing. For example, U.S. forces take on a more diverse and increasing number of military missions in war, in peacekeeping operations, in humanitarian operations as well. And the operations are increasingly more dangerous. The length of deployment is longer and often open-ended. For an example, the average deployment for reservists in Desert Shield and Desert Storm in the early 90s was 156 days. Now, the average deployment for Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom is 320 days, which is nearly double the 1990 deployment number. Also, there are more frequent deployments. There are more back-to-back deployments. The Guards and the Reserves are mobilized in increasing numbers and an increasing number of military operations. Since 9/11, 320,000 Guard and Reserve members have been mobilized. And according to one report, which was in 2004, 180,000 Guard and Reserve members were on active duty. One study suggests that there are critical issues, though, concerning military families, and there is the need for some specific competencies. For an example, competencies to plan and prepare for deployment, to handle stress of separation, long deployments, and moves, to take care of health and well-being, to know of and access services when needed, to possess effective family relationship skills, to understand and navigate military culture and demands, to cope with children's reactions to deployments and relocations, to manage family finance, including income changes, to carry out new family roles and responsibilities during deployment, to adjust to the return of deployed members, and to adjust to new communities. And the study also suggests another critical issue concerning military families, and it is the need for community support. That's right, community support. For an example, having information on military lifestyle, deployment relocation, mission orientation, also support services and unit and member welfare, access to support services, communication with military members during deployments. How about employment for the spouses, connections with unit and support groups, and here's a biggie, employer support for pre-deployment, deployment, and post-deployment of Guard and Reserve. And one that I think is just so important is also school support for the children and also affordable, quality child care. So, Michelle, I've said a mouthful.
A lot of statistics, which are really good.
A lot of statistics.
You know, and it's just what we're going to do in the future to assist them in making positive changes once they return back from employment and being employed for employment so that they can find jobs outside of the military and be successful once they come back from Iraq and make sure that they receive the counseling and everything that they need.
That is so true. And, you know, we know that it is needed. And, you know, just from this study, most of these studies were actually conducted in 2004. And so I've got to believe that the need is even greater 8 years later.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You know, and just I had no idea until I was preparing, you know, to do the show, getting information together in terms of just the length of deployment, that it's longer and open-ended, and how, like, the deployment timeline has doubled. It was 156 days in the 90s with the Desert Storm. And now it's like 320 days.
No, actually now it's 15 months. They
I'm
do
sorry?
1 year and three. It's 15 months. They do 1 year and 3 months.
Hmm.
And, but they can go. They can come back for 4 months, 4 to 6 months, and return back
okay.
overseas to Iraq. So the turnaround is greater, especially depending on what infantry they're in, what branch of the military they're in, and they're serving. And my brother-in-law, for instance, he's done 2 tours, and he gets out in 1.5 years, and he possibly have to go back and do another tour prior to being retired after doing 20 years. So the turnaround is great. And it's sad because the support systems are not there for the families. And you know, with Washington being one of the largest base areas, having all 5 branches, it's you see a lot of families that are torn. You see a lot of young people that are out on the streets and not having the family support that they need at home. It's Washington State used to be a state that when military families would come in, someone would adopt that military family. But it's not like it was back in the 60s or in the 70s, you know, and it's sad, but these are things that we need to look at and see about as far as our communities making changes, positive changes for our military branches and for our enlisted, and also, too, for the young people that are growing up and having being able to be stable and have a stable environment.
Right. And, too, I know that, you know, many military persons are aware of some of the services, but I think there are probably a lot that, for whatever reason, you know, that maybe they're not fully aware, you know, of some of the resources that might be able to help sustain them as well as their families, you know, while they're away. And also, when they make reentry back into the mainstream, you know, into civilian life. So this was interesting also that in terms of the age of the active duty personnel, 41%, so that's almost half, are ages 17 to 24.
Yeah, and those are the ones that are on the front line, too, which is sad because they're still babies.
That's our future, though. That's our future. But 41% ages 17 to 24, and then we have 34% who are ages 25 to 34, 21% ages 35 to 44, and then, of course, the last 4% is split. You have 42% ages 45 to 49, and then 2% 50 and over. So basically, you've got 4% that are 45 and over. But most are, you know, that basically between 17 and 34 are the probably, you know, the largest or the most of the military active duty personnel. Those are the ages between 17 and 34, and then the percentage drops down to 21% at age 35. And then in terms of the marital status, I had a few stats at the beginning, but this breaks it down a little bit more. I think I originally was saying that they're like 53% that are married and 49% have children, but here, listen to these statistics of marital marital and family status of active duty personnel. The biggest percentage, which is 41%, are single with no children, followed by 39% married with children, and then 14% married with no children. And then you have 6% who are single with children. so also I thought that was quite interesting, and I probably never would have known that, you know, if it weren't doing the show, which is really,
yeah,
you know, an awakening for myself and now also to the listeners, you know, that I just really believe with all that our military people are doing to service our country. And like I said in the beginning, you know, even though it's wrapped up into the political machine, but nevertheless, when we are praying and being concerned about our military people, it really has nothing to do with politics. It transcends that, and that we should just as a community to be concerned and aware of the things that our military people are going through. I mean, they have feelings, you know. They're human beings. And so, but their experiences sometimes are even more magnified, more traumatic, you know, because of just, their environment. So I would encourage our listeners to think about becoming somewhat involved, you know, as well as your, you can, you know, it could be just that simple thing as I did by connecting with www.presidentialprayerteam.org, where I adopted some troops. And the thing is, they you can select a particular branch. You could say, well, I want to pray for somebody from the Marine Corps or from the Navy, or you can allow them to select for you. And because I really felt like, you know, I want the Holy Spirit to be a part of this process, so I didn't indicate which branch that I wanted to, from which I wanted to adopt a military person. The first time when I did, and the second time I almost did, and I looked at the stats. There was one military service person waiting to be adopted at that particular time, because it's always ongoing, but it just happened to be one. And I was, in my heart, I was saying I really would like to adopt a Marine, because my brother served in the Marine Corps. And but anyway, I just hit click, and would you believe, Michelle, that it ended up being he is in the Marine. He's in the Marine Corps.
Let her get it.
Yes, right. And I thought, wow, this is so good. And so I pray for them. If I don't post on their individual walls, because on the website you go in, they have a personal wall that you can actually type your prayer. So I don't get a chance to go in and put it on there every day, but I do pray for my two military people, service person Nelson, who is in the National Guard, and as I mentioned, has four children, a wife and four children, as well as my Marine, who is a military person, Gooch. I do that every single day. I ask for God to cover them and their families.
Now, does their families be able to pull up the website, too, to see the prayers that are going out to the troops?
I believe anyone can.
I think.
I know there's a general wall that you can post. Just, you know, anybody can go in. Now, you know, the more I think about it, I'm not sure that you can just go into an adoptee's you know, to their wall, because you would have to, you know, I'm just not sure. So, you know what, it behooves our listeners to check out the website and to, you know, to see.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
anyway.
And find that out, because it would be nice for the families to know that there are people out there praying for their significant other, their loved ones, their son, their daughter, and if they're not the only one standing and holding them, undergirding them in the gap, but there's others standing out there and undergirding them in prayer.
That's right. And like I mentioned, but there is a wall that anybody can go in, and you can see all the postings. And, in fact, I did put their names even on the generic wall. I specifically, the prayer said, you know, for them. So that I know that there is that particular way that, you know, the family members could go in and just see if someone posted something that was directly related to a member of their family. So, Michelle, now you're there, up, I call it the hub, because as you mentioned, all of the branches basically, the Coast Guard, because you're at, I mean, you're at the Pacific.
Yes, in Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm. So, you have all of the branches, is that correct?
Yes, correct. We have all five.
Right. And, of course, you are in some relationship with many just because of your association, you know, from, you know, the church environment. And so you've had an opportunity to really get to know a lot of the military people, those that are on active duty, and then those that have come out. And I know that you can attest that they are some beautiful people.
Yes, they are. And, you know, what we're doing with our organization here in Pierce County is that we are doing workers retraining. So individuals mm-hmm. that come from being deported overseas and are in the military, and they come out and they don't have a career to go into outside of the military, we have a program training in import-export. By
right.
training in import-export, they can go anywhere in the United States and get a job. As we know right now, the economy, the dollar value, it is so low that Canada is matching the U.S. dollar right now. So there's more commodities leaving out of the U.S., going to France, going to the U.K., going to China and different areas. And so those jobs are more demand than working at the airport right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can believe that. That's, you know, the fact that you do provide that type of opportunity for those, like you say, that have returned and are returning to be able to do that, to go into, that field. What about in terms of their health and well-being? What have you observed in your comings and goings? You know, for those that may currently be, you know, active or even the now veterans, do they seem to, you know, take care of their health and their well-being? Because the study indicated that it was one of the critical areas, so that's why I'm asking.
The shell shock after returning and being around a lot of noise is devastating for them within the first, I would say, 30 to 60 days. When my brother-in-law came back from Iraq, he would say to himself, he would not want to go in crowds and had to know what was going on all around him. And my sister-in-law explained to me it was due to the fact that he was in the heavy war zone in Iraq, and there was a lot of shooting. So his mental state when he first arrived back was kind of shattered, and so it took time to build that back up.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, post-traumatic stress disorder would be one of the effects of, especially if you're right in the middle of all of the shooting, and even not necessarily that, you know, just the environment itself. And so I'm just wondering if you have observed, do they go for counseling, and do they stay in it? Because, you know, there's still a stigma associated with, you know, taking care of our mental health. You know, it's slowly changing, you know, the perception that your mental health is really like your physical health. And I firmly believe that if people took care of their mental health and, you know, talked and expressed how they feel, you know, that it would alleviate a lot of the physical symptoms and problems that we have, like stress, heart disorders, and even now, cancer is linked to stress. And so just wondering, do they go, if they go into counseling, do they stay with counseling? Do you know that information?
The majority that I've heard about have not, due to the fact that they don't want a pay cut. If they stay in counseling, that means if they get discharged from the military, then they're not able to take care of their families, and they know no other route of survival other than staying in the military because they've been in so long, or because the benefits have been so great for them and their family that the fear of losing those benefits and losing that income, it's safer for them to be in denial of needing mental health counseling than to go and get the counseling and say, you know, my long term is more important to me than short term. And so on the news here and on the radio in Washington State, they've discussed that a number of times, indicating that they don't want to go into counseling because once they go into counseling, then they get a branding on them. After they get the branding, then, you know, they can no longer be in the military because they release them on honorable discharge and medical, and their pay is less than what they're normally used to taking home.
Wow. So basically what you're saying is it's better to just try to balance themselves out on their own and retain their benefits. That's the bottom line.
Yes, cope with the situation at the time, with at hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that I was not aware of, and I'm sure our listeners as well. And if you would like to call in, our call-in number is 1-347-324-3813, and we do encourage you to call in. You know, another critical need area that had been identified, Michelle, is carrying out new family roles and responsibilities during deployments. I'm just wondering, and again, because you're right there in the mix of things with the five branches, when a family member is deployed, what is the family dynamic like? I mean, how are they adjusting? You know, if the father, say for an example, it's a married couple, father, mother, and a kid or a couple of kids, and if the father basically handled all of the household finances and perhaps was the breadwinner, you know, and the mother stayed at home and cared for the children, but now he's deployed. And so the family role and responsibilities obviously have to change. So what have you observed, if anything?
Well, you know, the roles, and this is so funny, but Washington State, the roles have switched as far as women being more of the backbone of the household and the husband just being the provider and the money person, per se, and women take charge, and it could be all over the United States, but I can only speak for Washington, and the women take charge of paying the bills and taking care of the household and making sure all the bills are met, and the husband mainly just makes the money. So that's why I think a lot of the men have problems with going the next step in getting mental health assistance, because I'm choking here because I just had my tonsils taken.
That's all right. And that was opening for me to say that our dear friend Martha has just come on the line. Hey, Martha.
Hey, Martha.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. Just listening to all your conversation, and it is so... it is so wonderful that God put on Minister Cheryl's heart to do this type program. And as Michelle was talking, I was thinking about the fact that I recently relocated to a different state, 1,600 miles from where my home is. And I thought I had everything in place when I prepared to do it. But then once I got to my new location, I discovered there were so many more dynamics involved with moving. And I guess that made me think of military that are deployed and move around.
Right.
And, I mean, that's really, when you think of the dynamics of that, uprooting and moving around and the things they have to face, that really brought it home to me to really want to pray for the military, those that are separated from family, because I'm separated from my family in my new state, and I know how I feel. So,
right.
And that was my choice to move. So it's just really something. I guess I never really thought of everything that happens to our troops, and I really applaud them, and I want to, again, applaud Cheryl for following God's prompting and presenting this program to honor the troops, because it's almost like it's a forgotten war sometimes, and like Minister Cheryl said, the only reason it comes up now is because of political battles, but
yeah.
The military is still the military. These are still people that are doing a job that, you know, they were sworn to do, and it's really something to really think about.
Yeah, it is. And just before you, and I appreciate those comments, Martha, and to God be the glory for anything I had to do with it, because He is the one that you know, imparts to us the ideas to do. At least for me, to do these shows. And, you know, like you said, you know, it's so seldom. I mean, we think of the military, but we don't think of the military. And I think I shared with you, I don't even know why. I mean, I do. It's the fact that God put it in my heart. But, I mean, just me as a human being, you know, why was I so burdened to even want to do this? You know, but it's a reason, and I guess it'll be revealed eventually. But anyway, before you called in, Martha, Michelle and I were talking about some of the suggested critical eating areas that have been identified through a study. And the one that we were talking about was how when the family member becomes deployed, that the family roles and responsibilities are impacted. And so I was asking her, you know, what she had observed, if she had observed anything, and she was saying that she didn't know about the rest of the country, but in Washington State, the roles had already flipped, you know, anyway, and it seemed as though the women were really taking care of everything, you know, paying the bills, what have you. And I was just getting ready to say, well, that's like, it's, you know, you hear of that now more so in a lot of the states. So I don't even think it's just, you know, necessarily only in the state of Washington. But anyway, Michelle, go right ahead.
Yes, as far as the roles in the household with the men, I think the men take more of the back seat when it comes to the household, and the wives take the front seat as far as maintaining. But one thing that happens that is when an individual is going on deployment over to Iraq, he gives up power of attorney to his spouse.
Okay, you
and that
say
power
that.
Attorney, they do a power of attorney for the spouse so that the spouse has power of attorney to make all the decisions for the family.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Okay. Well, here's another one that really captured my heart, because again, you think about it in general terms, but you don't think about it. And because I have had children as clients, you know, in counseling, and so of course I am concerned with how children feel, what they are feeling, how they react. But one of the critical needs that was identified and suggested that a competency was needed in was for coping with the children's reactions to the deployments and the relocations. So I was wondering, there in Washington State, you know, how have you observed, Michelle, the children? How do they cope with mom or dad, either one, because they're, again, they're single. I think I had mentioned they're like 6%. It's single people that have children in the military. So what when mom goes away, you know, how are the children doing if they're left to be living with grandma or an aunt or uncle or, you know, have you observed anything in that regard?
No, but only with my own nieces. And with my own nieces, because we have a large family, they, you know, they had sad times and they had moments when they were, you know, missing their dad, but they were able to email him. And that's something that is good in today's society that, you know, you have technology. And so the kids can stay in contact with the parents. So I think the burden of being short of a mother or father and not being able to communicate with them, now with technology, it has eased that pain with the children. I think, you know, years ago when before they had it, it was harder for the kids, but now with technology, you know, dad is just across the country or in another country, and but we can still email him and we can still communicate. There was times when my sister-in-law could not talk to my brother-in-law, and she would be stressed for a moment because she knew he was on the front line, but once they got that email, then they were fine.
Okay.
I think with that perspective, you know, with the change as far as emails and being able to communicate, even if you can't see, if you can't touch the person, because now it has the webcams and you can see the person as you talk to them.
And that's, you know, I think generally that's true, but I also think of the people that don't have a computer. And I mean, it sounds crazy, but in certain communities, you know, they don't have necessarily have at least right in the home, maybe, the, you know, at school or maybe on the job or what have you, and there is that opportunity to be able to go online and to send or retrieve an email. But, yeah, you're right. Generally speaking, because of technology, it has made communication so much better than, you know, waiting for a phone call, maybe. So, but we're getting down to like about 8 minutes, and I did want to just touch on a minute about the, again, community support, because those, what we were talking about were things that were specific, as I indicated, critical needs or suggested by this study. These were critical need areas, and also the community support was identified, suggested that, you know, as a community, which you already mentioned, Michelle, like providing training for those that are coming back from active duty. But what about employment for spouses? Do you know of any resources even there in the Washington state where there is a support system that if they needed to go out and work, that you know, like veterans get preference for a lot of things. So I was just wondering, is there any specific services for spouses who may need to go to work?
Well, at the military bases, they have APs, they have the commissary, and a lot of the spouses go to APs and the commissary and to the local businesses right on base and get employment. They even have banks that are right on the base, too.
Okay.
So they can get employment right there. There's some that come off of base and get employment, but it's employment's not hard to capture in Washington. It's just maintaining it and staying on the job. And, you know, if they're going through a lot with their kids and their spouse being deployed, then it may be harder for them to maintain employment.
Yeah, right. Well, Martha, you're there, we didn't say the state, but you're in a state where there's an Army base, right?
Yeah, Luke. It's called Luke. No, it's Air Force.
Air Force. Oh.
Yeah.
And have you, and I know you've only been where you are, you know, not long, but have you had an opportunity just to talk to anybody about their military life, met anyone, or?
Well, the only, I attend a church where there are a lot of military people, and the real urgency of just keeping them, you know, in everybody's prayers is what I hear from a, you know, religious standpoint, because it is a church environment. And they realize the, you know, the urgency of just holding these people up in prayer and encouraging them, and not forgetting that, hey, they're not just not at church this Sunday. They're over, you know, fighting. Mm. So
that's a good point. That's a real good point. You're right. You know, some of us, we attend bedside Christian church sometimes, you know, just because. But you're right. If they're not there, it could be because they have been called away to active duty. And, yeah, that's a good point, you know. But so when you don't see them, you know, that should be a red flag. Hey, I got to make sure that their name is up at the top of the prayer list, because they could very well be on their way to Afghanistan, Iraq, or, you know, wherever.
Yeah. Could you give that website again, or the for signing up to pray for a person in the military?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. It's www.presidentialprayerteam.org.
Presidential Prayer Team. Okay.
.org. Yeah, www.presidentialprayerteam.org. For our listeners, that is the website again. You can go on, and they call it AOT, which is the acronym for Adopt. No, wait a minute. Is it AOT? It's Adopt a Troop. So whatever that is, something like that. And you know, you can just, you know, click through, or it's Adopt Our Troops. That's what it is. It is AOT, Adopt Our Troops. And what happens is you get a certificate. You print it off. I have a certificate. The certificate reads, it says, Adopt Our Troops in Prayer as Initiative of the Presidential Prayer Team. And it says, My Prayer Commitment. It says, I commit to prayer daily for the individual U.S. military person whose name appears below and his or her family, thereby supporting the President of our great nation, the United States of America. And then it has the military person's name, the branch of their military, and it says, faithfully serving our country. And then it gives your commitment date. And I made my commitment when I made my commitment. And then it has the One Nation Under United States of America, Presidential Prayer Team, One Nation Under God. And they have a scripture, Psalm 33:12a, which reads, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So, you know, really nice. I'm going to get a frame for my certificate. And again, that's a way to be, you know, where that you can become involved, and it doesn't take a lot. All it takes is a couple of clicks and hit the print button, you know, and then to pray. So anyway, ladies, we are down to like 2 minutes. And thing is, you know, we lost about probably 10 or 15. I don't know what happened today, but it was really unusual to have all of that trouble trying to get going with the show. But anyway, it is what it is, and hopefully I can edit it where you know, it will be good, you know, auditable, and not too bad. So Michelle, my dear friend, my sister, I appreciate you sharing your time this afternoon, and
yes,
Martha as well.
Okay.
Joe, you were saying something?
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. And we'll keep our troops in prayer and for speedy return back to their families.
Right.
And thank
right.
you for this opportunity to co-host with you today.
Oh, well, my pleasure. And, you know, hopefully we can do something like this again, and, you know, without all the hiccups, you know, smooth sailing. And I have a couple of ideas that I'm going to bounce off of both of you, how sometime in the future we can really do a real bang-bang
bang-up job, you know, with this, and bring on some heavy hitters, maybe some retired generals, hint, hint, and see what happens. So anyway, thanks again. And listeners, remember next week to tune in. My guest is Steve Preston, who is the author of Brother to Brother. It's a wonderful book. You cannot put this book down. 10 Mistakes Men Make with Women. And I'm telling you, that book is, ladies, you need to buy it for yourself and for your significant others or husbands, because it's off the chain. So anyway, next week, August 3rd, 6 p.m. Eastern, remember to put God first, then family. And then you know what I always say, seize the moment, never quit, and work it till it works. Take care. Ladies, I'll talk to you on the other side of 7. Okay.
The world.